a matter-of-fact conversation. You can ease into it. You can use some humor. You can use some lightness with it as is appropriate. It's not all doom and gloom.
We have to sort of reframe the conversation as about getting the services that you need to be able to live the best life that you can live.
Hi, this is the Insights Panel podcast from Brighthouse Financial, a podcast for financial professionals about retirement planning. We bring you insights from leading experts to help you stay ahead of the curve and have more productive conversations with your clients. My name is Amy He, and in this episode, we're discussing why it's important to have conversations about long-term care and legacy planning. Many advisors and clients find talking about these subjects uncomfortable and awkward at times, but avoiding these discussions can have financial implications down the road. Our experts give advice on how to tackle these subjects and handle sensitive conversations. Speaking to us in this episode are J. Michael Collins, financial capability expert and faculty director of the Center for Financial Security at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Betty Dahl, long-term care expert and coach. First, I spoke to Michael about why clients avoid having conversations about long-term care.
There's a lot of reasons why all of us don't talk about long-term care. This is a topic that is, you know, it's difficult to have. It's difficult to think about. You know, nobody's happy to have to go to the nursing home. You know, people want to avoid the nursing home as long as they possibly can. But I think, you know, we have to sort of reframe the conversation as about, you know, getting the services that you need to be able to live the best life that you can live. And sometimes we might have a chronic illness or disability, and it doesn't mean that it limits the things that we can do. It means that we just need more help to achieve the goals that we have.
How can advisors convey the importance of having these conversations with clients no matter their age?
The long-term care conversation should be part of any holistic retirement planning strategy. So even younger clients who maybe aren't really thinking that seriously about retirement and maybe haven't even crossed the, you know, long-term care hasn't even crossed their mind, it should be something to plant the seed on. I think for an advisor, it helps communicate that you are thinking holistically about both the expenses that people are going to face, the risks that they face, the sort of broader asset management strategies that they might have. Now, the take-up we see statistically is lower among younger groups, but it doesn't mean you can't start to have that conversation even if that's just going to maybe result in a delay until a future date when we start to get more serious about these issues, which might be a decade from now. It's still worth, I think, raising those issues. Now, for clients who are, you know, in their 50s and 60s, I think this is going to be more salient. They're going to have experiences where they're beginning to think harder about long-term care. This is where really helping inform them about the facts that the risks are relatively high. One out of two, in my opinion, is relatively high. And the costs are high, and that can help preserve assets as well as help increase the kinds of flexibility that we have today and how we manage our expenses.
How can advisors use conversations about legacy planning to bring up long-term care?
It's interesting, as we talk to people about in surveys about their planning for retirement, about their sort of estate planning and their assets, one of the things we've seen a lot of data is that people weren't really thinking about their assets and their risks from long-term care. They were thinking more about, well, how much am I going to have left to give to my kids? That this bequest motive was a really strong motive. And, you know, it's interesting. For a lot of economists, it was not something we consider. In fact, a lot of economic models assume that you deplete all your assets by the time that you pass away. And yet, that's not true. People really do have a motivation to leave something behind that for the next generation. And that some people weren't taking out long-term care 1.0 policies because they felt like paying that premium would decrease their ability to put money aside for this, you know, bequest account that they potentially were going to leave on for others. So, you know, bequests are a strong motivation for people. And, you know, to the extent that they can protect their assets so that they have more to leave on to the next generation, that can become a real motivator.
That was Michael on framing long-term care as a way to protect a legacy. Next, I wanted long-term care expert Betty Dahl's take on what advisors should do to overcome their own blockers around talking about this difficult subject.
Many advisors find this a difficult conversation, and that's for a number of different reasons. Sometimes they're afraid that the client will ask questions that they're not able to answer, but more often it's simply because they have not had their own personal experience in a caregiving situation. If an advisor has not been through some level of caregiving within their family, I encourage them to talk with friends, or even better, find someone who is on claim and get their story. Find out what that long-term care policy did for that client and for their family. Visit that person. Hear that story. Really feel the impact of that planning that was done. It will really make you feel good about having the conversation and going forward with it and initiating it. It will give you the confidence to do that because you see the value in it.
How can advisors get clients to share their own stories?
This topic can be daunting for people to talk about. We need to ease into it. We need to ask them about the experiences that they've had, perhaps with a parent or with a grandparent. Simply ask, have you had any experience with someone who needed help with their daily living activities for a period of time? Find out who provided that care. Was it family members? Was it professionals? And then to ask, how do you want your experiences to compare? It's a matter-of-fact conversation. You can ease into it. You can use some humor. You can use some lightness with it as is appropriate. It's not all doom and gloom. People who plan find that they have a much more successful experience in the future than those who fail to plan.
At what point should advisors begin talking to clients about long-term care?
Advisors need to begin having these conversations fairly early on in their relationship with the client. And that may vary depending upon the age of the clients with whom you are working. If it's someone in their 50s, it's different than someone who is in their 30s. But to talk about the fact that this will be part of the planning scenario. If we are waiting for clients to bring this conversation up to us as advisors, we're waiting too long. We need to initiate that conversation. With younger clients, we can tell them that that talk is coming. We can ask about family experiences, and maybe that's an opportunity to connect with their parents and extend our business that way. But conversations need to begin early. They need to be a part of the planning that we do with each and every person.
How can advisors make these conversations less overwhelming?
I think if we can talk matter-of-factly with folks, one of the biggest things that I feel is important in having this conversation is explaining that the need for care is a new expense. Care is a new expense. It doesn't replace any other expense that an individual has. If someone needs care, the goal is typically to remain at home. So all of those household expenses continue. All of the utilities, all of the taxes, maybe a mortgage, all of their day-to-day expenses continue, and care is a new expense on top of those day-to-day expenses. The same thing is true if you were to go into an assisted living facility or a skilled nursing facility. If there is a spouse at home, all of those household expenses continue, and care is a new expense. So when we start to talk about new expenses and start to talk about cash flow issues when and if care is needed, it becomes a discussion about the realities of the cash flow, which is what, as advisors, we're always talking about. It's a much more comfortable conversation than talking about a lot of statistics about who needs care and for how long. It becomes a part of the financial planning discussion.
Is there language that advisors can use to stay positive?
I really encourage advisors to avoid using the expression "at your age." No matter what age you are, when you are told that at your age you should do something or you shouldn't do something, it always sounds negative and judgmental. Instead, simply use their real age. For someone who is in their mid-50s, this is what we recommend doing. Or for someone who is in their early 60s, sometimes it is best to consider such and such. Avoid using "at your age." I think we have to recognize that it's also really challenging for someone who has been used to being strong and independent and a provider to imagine no longer being able to fulfill that role. To not only be able to be a provider for others, but to end up being dependent upon others is very daunting. So that really does open the door for advisors to talk about how having a long-term care plan can be a tool to actually help them to continue to provide. to not be dependent upon others, to maintain their options and choices, and to be as independent for as long as possible. So it really is a segue into the long-term care topic.
What kind of information should advisors be communicating?
When advisors are talking with their clients about long-term care planning, I think it's real easy to jump into the minutiae and the jargon and focus on some of the little features of the policies that we're talking about. We need to keep focused on the big decisions, the big picture, the possible event. When we're describing individual features or things that our policy will do, we need to be able to finish every sentence, whether we actually do it or not. We need to be able to finish that sentence with the statement, Mr. and Mrs. Client, and what that means to you is, as a way of describing what that policy will do for them in that situation. And that may mean that you would be able to have home health care workers come into your home for 5 hours a day without having to tap into your own resources, or whatever it is that that policy will do, whatever it is that that feature provides, explain the value of that. And it's not always just a financial value. Often it is a value in terms of the emotional impact of that or the relationship aspect of that. What that means is that your children won't have to make the decision about where to draw the money to pay for care. To talk about how that really works and how it impacts them and how it impacts the people in their life at that point in time. Their clients don't want all the details. We need to share enough information that it's understandable. But I promise you, I don't want all the details of how my auto insurance works. I simply don't. I just want to know that it's going to do what it needs to do when I need it.
Is there a point during these talks when advisors should begin involving the family?
I find that when I am working with people in their 50s and 60s, it's rare that a family member is involved in that conversation. These are generally healthy, independent people, people who have made good decisions, certainly made their own decisions throughout their life, and are still making those own their own decisions. Where I see the family members become more involved is certainly at the time of claim. At that point in time, family members need some direction, need some understanding of what the policy will do, how it works, how to get that claim started. A policy review may be warranted certainly at that time, but sometimes that policy review may happen earlier. The client is now mid-70s. They have a adult child come home for the holidays, and they want that adult child now to understand the coverage that was put in place perhaps 10 or 20 years ago. But they want a review of that. They want their child to know what they have, why they have it, and what it will do for them in the future. So I see family members becoming much more involved at the time of claim than certainly at the time of purchase.
That was Betty on how advisors can help their clients and themselves overcome blockers around long-term care. Thanks to Betty and Michael for their insights, and don't forget to join us for the next episode of the Insights Panel podcast when we dive into a new conversation on women in retirement and how you can help them better prepare for the next phase of their lives. You can find more episodes of the Insights Panel podcast on brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel or subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights Panel from Brighthouse Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Brighthouse Financial, Inc., that provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and in New York only by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation as subject matter experts, for financial professional use only, not for public distribution.